Right after 2 weeks absent from a discourse, we return this morning. Amen. The scripture application of regeneration, eternal regeneration, of the regeneration, amen, of that which God did in eternity. Hallelujah. We're just magnifying God this morning for all of His goodness and all of His mercy. Yes. Let us go to Titus chapter 3. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Elder, you know where to go. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you this morning, for the sake of time, running a little behind schedule, let's look at verses 4, 5, and 6, and then I want you to pull out, I hope you still have it, the excerpt document, the scripture application of repenting and believing. Amen. You've got a few more nuggets to pull out of that document. Oh my God. Hallelujah. God has certainly blessed us. And these are things that we really need to know about. Amen. We need some good news. In the world around us, every time we go and we look at the media, it's all bad news. Amen. But this counteracts all of this. Amen. It more than compensates for everything out there that you think is happening bad to you. I said more than compensates. Amen. And so, it is a blessing that we come together to know and to understand what God has certainly accomplished in your behalf before time, before creation.
Yes, sir.
Before all of this that's going on is happening, amen, God staked out, amen,
yes,
eternal life for you.
Yes.
And He staked out eternal existence in Him for you. And He staked out everlasting happiness for you.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So no matter what's going on, amen, these are incidents leading to what He has staked out for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes Mother Nellis used the expression, oh, it's going to be all right. Amen. I can agree with that. I like to take that a little further. It's all right now.
Huh?
I said, all right. I said, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Amen. Yes, I do. I'm going through a bunch of stuff myself. Amen. There's nothing that's happened to you that's unique, that's not happening to everybody else. Huh? Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in spite of that, beyond that, oh hallelujah, instead of looking around from the horizontal view of the things that we see and that we comprehend, and even though that we think, even the things that we think we see and we think we comprehend, When the walls are closing in on you, huh? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Things begin to get to you. Oh, my God. Move up into the vertical, amen, atmosphere and vantage point. And look down according to our gospel and see the gloriousness of what God, amen, has already accomplished for you. Oh, my God. And be happy. Even if the situation calls for you to be sad, be happy. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Things don't have to be a certain way for you to be happy. Oh, no, it doesn't. Amen. We think that way. Oh, yes. We've been programmed that way. Oh, yes. Amen. But don't work that way. Amen. And so, we have been dealing with the doctrine of regeneration. Of course, no matter what is going on or what's going down, we're not coming in here talking about five ways to do something, five ways to get out of something, five ways to accomplish something. Amen. There are no five ways to do anything. Amen. Oh, my God. But everything that you think of concerning life and dealing with life is influenced by what you think of your salvation. Mm-hmm. And so we come here every week and we talk about the Asians. Mm-hmm. We talk about justification and propitiation, mm-hmm. glorification. Things that, the stock market doesn't have anything to do with.
No.
And who's in office and who's not out of office. Yeah. Amen. And the mishaps that happen on a daily basis, they're secondary. Amen. This transcends and overshadows all of that. Amen. So I come with good news for you this morning. News that's not influenced.
Right.
Amen. And not held captive to the whims of time and the whims of men.
Right.
And the things, hallelujah, that you don't have any control of anyway. You can't do anything about it. All right, let's go to Titus. Everybody got it? Titus chapter 3.
Amen.
Oh, my God. You ready to talk about something good?
Yes.
Verse 4. Start reading first from the King James, and then we'll go to the Greek.
Titus chapter 3, beginning mm-hmm. with 4th verse.
Uh-huh.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
The kindness and love of God. Oh, my goodness. We get so burdened down with the things of life, amen, and the things that we perceive that are happening, these temporary passing through things, until we can't see the glorious blessing and goodness of God, the kindness of God, amen. My God, that certainly dwarfs whatever. Amen. Situation you're facing this morning. Amen. You're blessed. You're blessed this morning. You're more than blessed. Oh, my God. The kindness and love of God was bestowed upon you in eternity. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Keep reading.
Hallelujah. Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
And now, when we're talking about kindness and goodness of God, it has to start with salvation. You know, we're so transfixed on the things of this life until somehow in our minds we just, I'm saved, but listen, I need to get this bill paid. You know. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Amen.
Whoa.
Would you rather be saved or would you rather have the bill paid? Somebody said, well, I can stand for both. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Salvation stands whether you ever get that bill paid.
That's right.
Because you may get it paid, but you might not get it paid. Amen. And your happiness shouldn't be based upon whether you get the bill paid.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all hear me this morning. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The kindness and goodness and love of God has appeared. He's speaking about salvation, being saved. Mm-hmm. Let's go to verse 5. Read that, Elder.
Verse 5, not by works of righteousness
mm-hmm.
which we have done,
uh-huh.
but according to his mercy,
mm-hmm.
and he save us
uh-huh.
by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
This is why we're dealing with washing, regeneration, renewing Holy Spirit, amen, salvation, being saved, amen. If you get that straight, amen, and you realize that if that's not by what you have done,
right.
amen, then the things around you is not going to be determined by what you have done or what you do. Same thing. Whatever you think about salvation, it just trickles right down into life. Amen. If you think that you've got control of salvation, amen, that it is based upon you, things are going to be shaky. Amen. You take that down into life, you're trying to control things, and things are just shaky. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But if you get it straight there, oh, my God, and bring it all down, amen, into the essence of your life, that if God controls my eternal destiny, he controls my everyday affairs and occurrences. Oh, my God. You got to understand that. God's people must understand that. so that our lives are miserable, shaky. Oh my God, men of God's people this morning, amen, they are any more secured and don't feel any more secured, I should say, amen, than the world. Amen. They don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment. Amen. But we know, amen, that He has accomplished the eternal essence of who we are and the essence of what He has done for us. Amen. Far overshadows, oh my God, whatever's coming down the path.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
This is why we continue to pound the same beat and theme of your eternal placement and position in the body of Christ. Amen. Oh my God. Even if you're sick and pain is wrecking your body. Amen. You must have this information. Oh my God. That you can glorify and magnify Him. Give Him praise and glory, amen, and be thankful and grateful regardless of what's happening. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And the reason we keep hitting on this, because God's people are unhappy campers. We should be happy campers, not unhappy campers. All right, read that sixth verse.
Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which He shed on us abundantly.
Just a little bit.
Through, abundantly.
I know. He just gave us a portion.
Abundantly.
Huh?
Abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, I say.
Yeah, amen. That Greek word is azakleen. That's translated here abundantly. Amen. I mean shed. That is translated here shed. Amen. It means poured. When somebody pours something on you, as we've said, we said again, they've got control over it. You don't. Amen. The essence of eternal life and your place in Christ and salvation and being saved and being justified. Amen. You don't have control of anything. God has just poured it on you. And He poured it on you at a time when you were not even around. What you have today is as a result of what He did in eternity. Now throughout this land and across this nation, across the world at this hour, peradventure many are preaching about many things. Amen.
Yes.
We will not come in here and focus on the here and the now. We will not come in here and focus on your problem. Amen. Because we have a diversity of problems.
Sure.
So we're not going to go through a litany of problems, of everyday occurrences. Amen. It's unnecessary because they're all passing away.
Yes.
Huh? They're all, everything. King James has the expression, it came to pass. Amen. It comes and it passes. No matter what, there's some things that you thought were going to kill you, but you're here this morning, aren't you? Well, I said, well, barely, but no, you're here. You're here. Amen. You didn't just get by, you're here. You're here. Amen. And so, why not have this information? So that while you're going through the problems, why you're going through the trials, while you're going through it, you can relax.
Glory to God.
Amen. There's an expression, take a Tylenol and get over it. No. Learn this. Amen. And you don't have to take a Tylenol and get over it. Amen. You learn this. Amen. You already passed it. Huh? That's what we have to understand this. We have to understand it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God help us. And so we come. And we go over it over and 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 over again. And this is why our focus here is on salvation. Salvation is about your eternal relationship with God. And this is where the prioritized focus of God's people must rest. In salvation. And I know it's boring and to some, and you know, so well, we saved, let's get the bills paid, or we saved, let's talk about healing of the problems that people are having every day. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a diversity of problems. You may be going through something, I'm not going through it. You know, and vice versa. But we're all going through something. Amen. But this, amen, is what a real action is. Our problem is we have not learned to fully appreciate our salvation. Most of our prayers, and prayer is strictly privileged communication with God. Most of our prayers is concerning some problem or some situation that we're asking God to give us release from. In fact, some of us don't talk to God unless we're coming to Him asking.
Amen.
We don't communicate with Him. We don't pray. Amen. We don't go to Him, amen, thankful that He has saved us and thankful, amen, that in eternity He elects us and calls us and, amen, and chose us and sanctified us and justified us and glorified us and put us in the body of Christ. Amen. We don't talk to God about that. Amen. It's about give me this and give me that. And please, Lord, do it fast.
Oh, yes. Amen.
And then we walk around here with attitude. Subconsciously, we get an attitude with God. Well, you don't want to admit it. Amen. But you're not happy. And you're not too pleased because you asked for that thing and you didn't get it. And instead of the problem getting better, it got worse. And you're all jutted out of shape. You're all sad and, amen, depressed and, amen. And when I don't see some of you, I don't know what's going on and what's going down. Amen. You know, was that the tiger got you by the tail or something like that? I probably didn't say that right. But something got you. Something got you. Amen. Something's got a hold of you. Amen. And that thing is more real to you than salvation. But I said to you this morning that there's nothing more real than your salvation. Everything, touching life and things that you're going through, it will pass. Amen. There's an ending to it. God has placed us into the eternal realm of existence with Him. Oh my God. We must understand that this is where the real happening is all.
Glory to God.
That's why we're talking about salvation. We're trying to get your focus on the real world. This is not the real world that we're in. Amen. Oh my God. This is a temporary happening that has an end in time. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Let's talk about salvation this morning. In the document.
Glory.
Scripture application of repenting and believing. We have we're dealing with this simply because it is the way we've been taught, and the things that we think concerning salvation that places it in the same category as everything else that's around us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I say to you this morning, it is not. Amen. We've just got through reading. Not by anything that you have done. Not by the works of righteousness. Not by anything that you have done or could do that you are saved. And so what they have done is they have taught us that you must do this and that and the other and keep on keeping on. And if you don't, amen, you start out but you lose it. If you stop believing, you believe to get saved, but if you stop believing, you're not saved anymore. Amen. And so we have thrown our salvation and our relationship with God in the same bag, amen, as our bills. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you do not. No. Different thing altogether. Amen. So let's, as we look into this, amen. Now, here at the Grace Gospel Church, we have labored to teach from the Word of God. And in teaching from the Word of God, there are some things that you must understand concerning the Scriptures. I'm gonna shift it down a gear here. I want to talk to you this morning. Amen. Can I talk? Can we talk? Amen. Salvation, amen, in the Scriptures and the things of God cannot be ascertained unless you are reading the Bible correctly. You must read the Bible. You must study the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations, you're going to go back into the Old Testament dealing with something that God, amen, interfaced with David on and tried to bring it over to your situation, amen, and the two don't click. They don't mix. We're in the dispensation of grace, so you cannot go into the dispensation of law or into the dispensation of the kingdom or into any of the other dispensations and bring that over into your gospel and make any sense out of it. We were dealing in Sunday school this morning, amen, about the glory that was associated with Moses. And I remember one time somebody was talking about what a great and glorious time they had at church. That they actually believe that the Shekinah glory came down into the church. And there are many that take advantage of that. Because we some ministers like to play with the emotion of people, you know, because we're emotional creatures. You know, I mean, we get together with some of the brethren in the back, amen, and we make some kind of concoctions and we, amen, hook something together and we blow some smoke through those vents. I mean, service get going real high. Everybody's just singing and shouting. And all of a sudden, the place gets full of smoke and clouds. And then I look up, woo, the Shekinah glory is in here. No, it's not. No, it's not. Did that happen in the Bible? Yes. That absolutely happened. It happened, amen, in the tabernacle. Amen. Will it happen today? No, oh, amen. No. No. One time I was over at a certain church and I was talking some business with someone, and all of a sudden we heard these, I'm not going to call the church because some of y'all know what the church is, a big church too. Large, big sound, boom. I thought it was thundering, but the sun was shining. So that couldn't have been thunder. Amen. And boom, 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 boom. And we felt the vibration and I know what's going on. And after a while, pastor came in and he was laughing. And they had early morning prayer. And he had the song people to rig some sound with some loud drums and thunder. And they were in there praying and at a certain signal, this actually happened. Amen. he had the shaboom, he brought the shaboom in. And those people went out of there, all charged up. They thought they had brought the thunder of the glory of God down into that place. And you couldn't have told them any difference. And now he was laughing about it. Now this actually happened. Amen. But you know, if you understand dispensations and you will know that whatever, those things did happen over into those places. In as you read in the Old Testament. the Testament. Amen. But as we were dealing with this morning, whatever glory that was associated with Moses and the giving of the law, the glory we have now, amen, of eternally being called and elected, far outshines that glory. That glory is nothing compared to this glory. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The next thing we must understand is that we must understand election. We must understand the essence of God's sovereign choice of you. And it's in the arena of eternity when nobody was around but God. Now that doesn't make sense to some. Because that's saying that God chose you before you were created.
Right.
But we are going to begin, amen, a series within a few weeks after we're going to close out here. We won't finish up our study here that we have been going through some 25 or 26 sessions, and we reserve the right to come back to regeneration. But we're going to move, amen, into the essence of ontological existence, which, when does a thing actually exist? Does it exist, amen, with your existence? Can it exist with God's existence? Does it have to exist with your existence?
Oh my God.
Huh? Does God have to make a man before he saved him?
My Jesus. Hallelujah.
And see, when we look at the scriptures, we begin to break them down. We begin to exegete. We begin to look at the historical aspect. And we go into the grace dispensation documents of the grace covenant. And we go into the grammatical aspect of the grammar. And we contextualize. And we see all of these aorist tips that are telling us things that we are thinking about as happening now, has already happened, and they are complete. Amen. That not only baffles, that confuses the mind of some. Amen. But all you got to do is understand that a thing is actualized or it comes into existence when God perceives it, if God thinks it.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen.
That's his existence right there. So, yes, he saved you before he ever made you.
Glory.
God doesn't have to prove anything to himself.
Amen.
Manifestation is for creatures. Revelation is for creatures. When God reveals something, it's for your sake. It's not for his sake. God doesn't need to reveal it to know that it's happening. It happens in his decree. So we shall deal with that. And so if we read the right covenant, we'll see that there is automatically instituted within it divine dealings with specific provisions that events the manifestation of God's eternal work in some position in us in the body of Christ. And when you go into the new covenant, we won't even deal with the law this morning. When you go into the new covenant of Jeremiah 31,
yes,
says, O Israel and O Judah, in the past I wrote the law on tablets of stones. So now I will write it in your heart. How are you going to do that? Amen. And of course, Another thing that confuses them, there is only one, there is only one, there is only one salvation plan. There is only one way for a man to be saved. You are saved, it is by the grace of God. It is the blood of Jesus that was shed in eternity. Somebody said, no, Pastor, was shed 2,000 years ago. That's the manifestation of it. How dare you say that God saved all of those people before 2,000 years ago on credit? How dare we? Yeah, we that's the way we do transactions. Amen. But that's not the way God does transactions. All of those that were saved in the past, beginning with Adam in the garden, and God went into the garden to save him because he was lost, because he had rebelled against God, and the penalty was death. Amen. And if the blood of Jesus wasn't already available to God, he would not have been able to save him. God is just. Amen. You know, we go get merchandise, and we do a what they call a purchase transaction. Amen. You pull out that plastic car, you haven't purchased anything. Oh, no, you haven't. If you think that, you know, it's all over and the fat lady has sung, just wait about 30 days. You're going to get something through the mail and let you know it ain't all over. Huh? And so when God saved Abraham and we saved David, when David, amen, sinned, committed, amen, adultery and murder, amen, oh my God, he should have, according to the law, he should have been struck down right on the spot, amen. But God was able, amen, to have mercy and to show love and kindness even to the point that he said he's a man after my own heart. I tell you, this was not about credit.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah.
It was paid for in eternity. The Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Thank God.
That's where your blood is. 2,000 years ago, we get the manifestation of it. Oh, hallelujah. And see, you have to take all this information. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And even when they go into the Old Testament, they've got it wrong. When David prayed, when you go to the 51st Psalm, David is not praying. And we need to go back and look at that again. Amen. David is not praying for God to take the Holy Spirit away from the standpoint of throwing him out of the commonwealth of Israel.
All right.
David was worried about his joy.
Yeah.
Huh? They weren't worried about his position. He was worried about his joy. Because he loved the Lord. Huh?
Yeah.
So it was the restoration of his joy. Read it. It was the restoration of his joy.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at Lord what God has been taught, it gives us the impression that we did something in order to be saved.
Yeah.
That thing is all the way down through the annals of time. You got to do something to get something. Which actually means that if you do have to do something to get it, then you have to do something to keep it. If salvation is about you, your performance doesn't stop when you save. Your performance, amen, if it's about performance. If it's about performance. You've got to know that your salvation had nothing to do with you. And this business about repenting and believing, amen, that's a concoction of men, and they have not read the scriptures right. Amen. The application of these things in the covenants, amen, basically given in light of the specific covenant. Amen. But when this is confused with the covenant application of grace to us as elect Gentiles, hear me now. We're not a part of the law. Ephesians 2 and 12. We were strangers from those covenants. We were aliens from those covenants. To try to blend those covenants in with the grace covenant is a serious error indeed. Amen. The reference made to repentance in our gospel, again, the word metanoia, amen, simply means change of mind. Doesn't mean crying and falling all down and being sorry you sinned. Amen. The sinner never becomes sorry that he sinned.
No.
I said it again. The sinner never becomes sorry that he sinned. The sinner may become sorry for the consequences, but he never become, because if that was so, he would never sin again. Huh?
Come on with
it. You know, when we were smaller, we would get a whooping, and even though I passed them down to the next generation, it's like, oh, Mom and Dad, oh, oh, I'm never going to do that again. I'm sorry. No, you're sorry for the consequences.
Right. Yeah.
You're the prey. I guarantee you, you're going to do that or something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
Again.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We haven't been taught right. When that word is in our gospel, for instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 10, amen, it's conveyed as a separate act having nothing to do with being saved. The conclusion of the matter is that while God's covenant people, that is, Israel, appointed to national personal relationships to God in those covenants by manifestation of repentance, as Peter said to them on the day of Pentecost, as a separate act, that's for them. Don't bring that. It's not our gospel. There's no basis, either in reason or revelation, for the demand to be made that those who are manifestly called in this age must exhibit repentance, an exercise of faith in order to be saved. So when you go to that passage, Paul was talking about their conduct and them changing, having a change of heart, a changing from the way they were acting. He never challenged their salvation. Paul never challenged their salvation. He never challenged us. You read that. He did the context. You must the context. How dare, amen, you accuse Paul, amen, of saying these people must repent, amen, to be saved when the people he was writing to, those epistles, were already saved.
Yes, God. Come on. Hallelujah.
But you're missing the messages. And that's the problems. Amen. And we have taken from the old, from the new covenant, the word repentance, and made it a synonym for being saved. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We must understand that these portions of scripture in the new covenant to include all that it declares on the matter of the human responsibility and salvation as it is viewed strictly from the earthly vantage point. Amen. Yet, in our gospel, any text that has any emphasis to change a mind, it omits any reference to repentance as a separate act inciting the conferment of salvation. Give me about 10 minutes. We got started late today. Maybe you can write this down. In fact, I'm going to write them down and pass them out at some point, but I don't have it right now. But as you look at this word repentance, amen, and you look at our gospel, you go in there and know it is taught that it's something that you got to do.
Right.
Amen. In Romans 2 and 4, we don't have time to turn to all of these. Our time is gone. It's obviously addressed to the Jews that have a prior relationship with God. Chapter 2. Amen. Paul is talking about the relationship that they had with him. You look at Romans chapter 1 and 2, and he brings it all down. He is showing that even though the Jews had a relationship with God, they didn't act any better than we did. So he wasn't talking to us. In Romans 11:25, amen, it is speaking of God. As we've just said in Romans chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, he's speaking to those in the Grace Church who are already saved.
Right.
Amen. He is referencing a change of conduct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A change of their actions.
Right.
Not a change of their position in Christ.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
It's not referencing
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
In 2 Timothy 2:25,
mm-hmm.
context clearly deals and shows that the one opposed in references the likes of Hymenaeus and Philetus. In verse 18, as Paul states that reasoning with such would possibly lead to their change of mind from the erroneous teaching that the resurrection had already passed to a perfect knowledge and alignment of what had been revealed to Paul. So he wasn't talking about them not being saved. And when you were talking about them changing from what they were teaching.
Right.
And yes, that could absolutely be brought over into our day. A lot, there's a lot of preaching going on this morning that needs to be changed.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Had nothing to do with whether they're saved or not. But it has everything to do with their actions. So he's speaking about it. Paul, even Alexander the coppersmith.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul said he gave him big time problems. I'm just paraphrasing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he said the Lord rewarded for his work. He never said he wasn't saved.
Mm-hmm.
You never find Paul, amen, you go into our gospel and you never find Paul vouching for or against anyone's salvation. Don't you ever, ever, never, 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 ever, amen, regardless of what someone is doing, don't you ever, amen, try to place an assessment as to who is saved. How dare you, amen, you didn't call him, you didn't elect him, you weren't around when it happened. How do you know who's saved? So, well, I can be a fruitless preacher. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, even in the kingdom gospel, since you want to, amen, dabble around over in there, amen. Jesus said, let the wheat and the tares grow together.
Yeah.
Don't you try to separate them.
Yeah.
Amen. You talking about rooting out the tares, you'll be pulling up the wheat. So leave it there.
Yeah.
Amen. That's my business.
Yeah,
amen. Because I was around when I made the choice. And I know what I did.
Yeah.
And what I did, amen, cannot be changed. And you weren't there. And you don't know. So don't you try. Hebrews chapter 6, give me 5 minutes now. Verses 1 and 6. It's obviously referencing the doctrine of repentance in the new contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is where we part company with many that are in the so-called grace camp. That said that Paul didn't write Hebrews. Because, first of all, they don't understand Hebrews was written to believing Jews that were not members of the body of Christ. And do not understand why Paul wrote it. They say he didn't write it. And because he didn't put his name at the beginning of it. Paul, you know, Paul wasn't the most popular person with the Jews. Huh? And who else would have the authority to send Timothy there?
No guy.
Huh?
No.
I served under Pastor Colbert for 31 years. And there were times when he couldn't go places to minister and I had to go in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I showed up, they knew who had sent me.
That's right. You. I read this out. Come on.
Timothy was served under Paul.
Yes.
Peter couldn't send Timothy nowhere. And nobody else. And in the 6th chapter,
mm-hmm.
Paul is telling them and dealing with the essence that some of their practices had to be changed. One of them was baptisms, and so he talked about it. He was speaking about the laying on of hands and all of these things. He was he briefly spoke on it, amen. But here, if you look into the sixth chapter of Hebrews, amen, it is obviously referencing the doctrine of repentance in the new contract, in the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17 is referring, listen, is referring to Esau, who was rejected by God before he was born. Thus, there was never the possibility of repentance in him. That's what he was talking about. Some people can't change because manifestation has to follow what? Actuation of the decree. If God didn't decree in eternity for you to be saved, you'll never be saved. On the other hand, amen, even if you don't raise a hand or walk an aisle, if God decreed you in eternity, saved, you're saved. Because salvation is not based upon what you do. Salvation is based upon what he did, what he has already done, what has already been accomplished. I got one other thing, and then 2 Corinthians 12 and 21, Paul is speaking to those already saved in the church who had not changed their conduct, as we've said in dealing with that passage. There's one other thing here. Oh, my God, this clock always beats me up. In Matthew 28:19, we're going to run a little over this morning, but, you know, there's something out there waiting on. You better know this. You better know this. I was in a chat room yesterday. I said, Pastor, why you keep going in the chat room? Because I'm nosy. I like to listen to what other people are saying and thinking. And there were two groups in the chat room. One group, they were staunch what we call dispensationalists. They believe in dividing the Bible according to dispensations. There's another group in there. They were staunch sovereign grace people. Of course, if, my God, if you don't divide the Bible according to dispensation, you can't be a sovereign grace. But anyway, and of course, you're not a true dispensationalist if you do not espouse the grace of God. Amen. And so, basically, both doctrines are true, but they were wasting their time calling each other names. Calvinists and others say, oh, you, one guy, one of the sovereign grace people was talking about, you know what, don't bring that John Darby, amen, heretical teaching into this room. You know, I mean, you know, it's just arrogance. No. Yeah, this arrogance that is the result of ignorance. When both doctrines are true and they complement each other. And so, what they were arguing about is that who did Jesus send these disciples of 2019, who did he send them to minister to? In other words, is this our gospel? Is this our God? Is this the so-called Great Commission? Is this, amen, to us? Is this given to us to do? Was this written to us? And of course, I bring up exegesis and all of them want to kill me. When all you do is you exegete, you go to the verse. Don't read the King James. There were those in there that said, no, we're King James only. If you're not reading the King James, you're not reading the English translation of the Bible. That's nonsense. Whether it's King James, whether it's American Standard Version, whether it's the BBE, or whether it's the NIV, no matter what it is, amen, exegete. You got that? All right. Give me 5 minutes. Y'all, please hang with me. Just 5 minutes this morning. Read that.
Matthew chapter 28, beginning with the 19th verse.
That's all I want is the 19th verse.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Now, how many times have you heard that? And that becomes the basis of being saved.
Yes.
That's the message that is taken.
Right.
And they're arguing about who was Jesus talking to and who did he send them to. Now, if you understand what is said, and this is why we exegete, we'll let the message itself say who he was talking to and who he sent them to. You got your Greek Bible, get you. Amen. Those of you that have your Greek Bible, amen. We're down in a second now. Turn right quick. Matthew 28:19. And I hope they didn't blow it here. If so, we're going directly into the Greek. 19th verse. Everybody that has a Greek in the name got the 19th verse. He blew it too.
Okay. Matthew 28, begin with the 19th.
Just read that first verse. Read the first phrase, and he blew it also. Read it.
Going therefore, disciple ye all the nations.
That's enough. That's not true. Now, some of y'all are gonna go nuts now, but I'm going straight to the Greek. It reads. Parifindes un matitavsete pandas ta ethni. Here, the verb parifindes is a participle. It is a participle. It is a verb participle. What is a verb participle? What is a participle?
Verb adjective.
It is a verb adjective. So it's describing. It is an action word that's describing something here. Now, this word is, this participle is in the imperfect tense. What is the imperfect tense? That's perfect tense. What's the imperfect tense? Continuous action in the past. That should read, having gone. Having gone. Mm-hmm. Having gone. Where had they been? The 10th chapter.
Ooh, good God Almighty. Come on.
Go ye what? Go ye not?
Right into the way of the Gentiles.
Not to the Gentiles.
Right.
So he said, having gone. So he was talking about where they had already been. Where had they been? Had they been to the Gentiles?
No.
He better not. Having gone. The Greek verb, and I'm proof for this. The Greek verb, matitavsete. Translated disciple. It's in the imperative mood. What is the imperative mood?
Command.
It's a command. But it's in the aorist tense.
Past completed command.
So here you have a past completed command. So what Jesus said is, having gone, discipled them.
Oh, my God.
Are those where you haven't gone, by election, oh my God, hallelujah, been made disciples, those are the ones you're going to disciple. You must go where you've been. And your going is not what saved them.
Yeah.
I call them in eternity.
That's right. That's it.
Huh?
That's right.
And they're not discipled. You didn't make this. How are you going to take a past completed man and translate it and make disciples? How can you do something that's already done? Disciple.
Glory to God.
So manifestly, you are doing and bringing this message and baptizing those who've already been discipled. They're discipled through the call and through the election of God.
Glory to God.
I'm talking about my elect Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. So don't bring that over to our gospel. We don't preach that. We don't teach that. Amen. We teach about it, but we don't teach that this is what it takes for you to be saved. I said to you this morning in my conclusion, if you don't know nothing else, if you don't understand this, know that you're saved. Know that there's no formula out here floating around for you to get saved. If you don't get saved, you were saved. Amen. You are because you were. And you are because of what God did in eternity, not what you can do in time. Because there's nothing that you can do.
Glory.
Amen. There's nothing to do. Amen. And manifestation is not about doing. Manifestation is about revelation of what is already done. You understand that? Huh? So when you get problems and troubles and things that happen and situations of life are kicking you around and slapping you inside the head, amen, and with nothing else don't seem right, know that the most important thing is right. It can never be wrong, and that's your salvation. God bless you.